Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
Nothing flourishes in the wrong environment. Nothing flourishes in the wrong environment. Would you tell your neighbor that real quick? Nothing flourishes in the wrong environment. Doesn't matter what it is. So we've been dealing with the topic of purpose, and we've talked about purpose and different, you know, applications and what is the purpose that God has for our lives. And so watch what Isaiah 45 verse 18 says. It says, "For thus saith the Lord, the creator that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain." Read the next statement out loud again. "He formed it to be inhabited." So God said, when I made earth, I made it to be inhabited. I made it for life. So scientists call the location of the earth in relationship to the sun, they call it in the Goldilocks zone. And what the Goldilocks zone means is that it's the perfect distance from the earth, from the sun is the perfect distance from the earth, or the earth is from the sun, that the earth doesn't freeze and that it doesn't burn up. Now, I don't know the exact distance. You can look all that up if you want to, but I've read it. I just can't remember it. How much distance, if the earth were that much closer to the sun, there'd be no life. That much further away from the sun, there'd be no life. So it's what's called the Goldilocks zone. That earth is right where it needs to be to sustain life. And that wasn't because of some big bang and where the earth landed. That's by the divine nature of an all-wise, creative God that put the earth right there in the perfect place so that it could be inhabited, unlike any other planet where they've not been able to find life and won't. Not only did God put the earth in the right environment to the sun, but he put the earth at about a 23 and a half degree angle on its axle. And so that because of that tilt in the earth's axle, the earth ends up having seasons. We have seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter. And if you would take the earth and take it off its axis and then let it spin, it would wobble. But God resolved that by giving it a moon that helps counterbalance the earth and keep it in a perfect rotation. And now that moon provides light at night and is used for times and seasons. And we measure months and so forth. Isn't that amazing? God is wise. So God said, I'm going to put man on earth. But before I can put man on earth, I've got to make earth an environment that man could actually live in. I'm trying to show you that before God gives a thing a purpose, he gives the thing an environment where the purpose can succeed. Maybe the problem we've had in our life wasn't that God didn't have a purpose for us, we just weren't in the right environment. Now come back to Genesis and let's do a little study of the beginning. I want to show you this principle here. So go with me to Genesis chapter number 1. Oh, I can't wait for this to come again. This is my third time doing this today, and I'm still excited about it. But I figure if it won't excite me, it won't excite you. Amen. If I'm not passionate about it, how are you going to be passionate about it? Now watch this in Isaiah chapter 1 when you get there, say amen. I mean, Genesis chapter 1 when you get there, say amen. We'll look at it in verse 21. "And God created great wells and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good." So the word tells us that God created the waters, and then he created a habitat that you know, for the creatures that he would put in the water. He put fish in the water, put the bird in the sky. Come on, somebody. Let's drop down and look at verse number 25. "And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." When you read these verses paired, verses 20 and 21 and 24 and 25, you realize that God creates an environment, and then he puts the thing he made in the right environment. God created the environment and then put the thing in the environment. So God created the waters, then he put the fish in the waters, even the whale. God created the atmosphere and he put the birds. He turned them loose. God created the dirt and then he planted seed all over the whole earth. He created the environment and then he put the thing in the environment. Everybody see that? God didn't create a fish before he created the water, because then the fish don't have nowhere to go. Now watch this in chapter number 2. Let's go down to verse number 8. Well, we'll start in verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Read the rest. And there he put the man whom he had formed. So God made a garden called Eden, and then he put man that he made in that garden. I don't know about you, but I've had different ideas and visions as I first became a Christian and a believer. And, you know, and you kind of see the Garden of Eden and my immature, ignorant, you know, self back in the day when I first got saved. I kind of saw the Garden of Eden as the only place on the planet that had any life. Everything else is desert and wilderness. But that's not accurate, because if you go back to the previous chapter and you read verse 29, you find that in Genesis 1:29, God planted vegetation all over the whole earth. So there were plants growing and grass growing and trees growing and fruit trees growing and rose bushes blooming all over the whole earth. What made Eden different? We've got to understand this. So God, when he made man, he didn't just stick him anywhere. He stuck him in what's called the Garden of Eden. But what made Eden different than any other place on the earth? Well, let me give you the definition of the word Eden. The word Eden, when you study it all the way through its root, you find two words basically, house and pleasure. That it was a place to be inhabited, a house. It was a dwelling place. It was a dwelling place that brought abundance of joy and pleasure. And we find, according to the word of God, that Eden was where God's presence was. Oh, my soul, this is going to get good. So when you read Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8, you see that man has sinned. And from that sin, he's hiding. What is he hiding from? Let's look at verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God, help me, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the what? Presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. So what do we see that was in that garden? The presence of God was in the garden. So what separated Eden from all the other places on the planet? Eden is where God's presence was. So when God made man, he put him in an environment. What was the environment that God put man in? He put him in an environment where the presence of God was. So when God made the waters, he put the fish in the waters. When God made the air, he put the birds in the air. But when he made man, he put him in his presence. What was God saying? God was saying, for man to thrive, for man to truly have life, for man to truly thrive and flourish mentally, physically, and spiritually, he would have to abide in the environment of God's presence. Satan's message was, you don't need the presence of God because you can be your own God. And that led to sin. Go with me over to the book of Isaiah. And I want to go to the 51st chapter. Church, we got to deal with this. God separated the Garden of Eden from all of the places in the earth, because that's where his presence manifested. Now, I know God is omnipresent. One of his names is Jehovah Shammah. And Jehovah Shammah means ever-present. He's omnipresent. The psalmist said, I can't escape his presence. But there's a difference between the presence of God and the manifest presence of God. The manifest presence of God is when you're in his presence and he makes his presence known. And that's where I want to be. I want to be where he's making his presence known. And that's what Eden was. Eden was a place where God made his presence known. He walked with Adam. He walked with man. He talked with man. He joyed himself with man. He visited man in the garden. You know what we do, though? We have let the enemy convince us that we are to separate what is sanctified from what is secular. And so what we've done is, I'm speaking corporately as the church, is that we've gone into a building that we call church on Sunday. And there we prayed. And there we sang spiritual songs. And there we read the word. And there we praised. And there we worshiped. And we thrived. And then we left and talked about what we did, but then stopped doing what we were doing. We played a song in our car we would have been critical of had they played in church. We didn't pray, we didn't praise, we didn't listen to the right music because we separated what was sanctified from what was secular. Now we're back to the real world, and we'll go back next Sunday and get some more of that presence. But let me ask you this question. If you had a goldfish in your house and a goldfish bowl, and you said, okay, Mr. Goldfish, you only gonna get 2 hours of that tank. And you took the goldfish out of the tank at about 1 o'clock on Sunday and stuck it on the countertop and said, you know what? At 11:30 next Sunday, I'll put you back in the tank. That fish wouldn't make it. Because you can't put a fish, you know, out of its environment it was destined to thrive in and expect it to have life. How can we expect to have life when we're just dipping in the presence of God but not abiding in the presence of God? We've got to make a decision to fill our atmosphere, to fill our environments with the presence of God. That's my automobile. That's our living room. That's everywhere that I go. I want to abide in the presence of God. And the reason we cross this up is because man is both natural and spiritual. God took dust from the earth to make his body, but then breathed in him and he became a living soul. So man is both natural and spiritual, which means my physical life is sustained from the earth, but my spiritual life is sustained from God, which means you can do all that you want to do in this earth, in your flesh, and call it life, but be dead spiritually. See, when Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, he said bread alone, which means man shall not live by bread alone. Bread sustains my physical body. But then he said he shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that's what gives my spiritual man life. And many people today in the body of Christ might be thriving physically, naturally, but you're not thriving spiritually because of the environment that you've established in your life. Now watch this in Isaiah 51. When you get there, say amen. We'll look at it in verse 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. Zion, that's a popular name. Zion in the Old Testament represents God's place, God's people. In the New Testament, there's an inheritance of Zion for the church, that the church is engrafted in with Israel and become Zion. There's probably more churches named after Zion than any other name. Good name, biblical. The Lord will comfort Zion. What is Zion? It's the place of God's presence. For he will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like what? Eden. And her desert like, read it, the garden of the Lord. So Isaiah 51 is saying what separated Eden was that Eden is the garden of the Lord. It's the garden of the Lord. What made Eden different is that God's presence was there. So when God made man, where did he put man? He put man in his presence. When God made fish, where did he put fish? In water. When God made seed, where did he put seed? In the ground. He puts the thing that has a purpose in an environment that will make it thrive. If you have a purpose, and you do, all that's missing, that might be missing in your life, is getting in the right environment. Now I'm speaking, you know, of the major point of being in the presence of God, but there's so much that this points to. My wife is a registered nurse, and we first got married, you know, I go pick her up from the hospital. When she got off at 11, she worked a 3-to-11 shift. And she'd hop in the car, and she won't tell me all that stuff went on in the emergency room. I'm like, no. Baby, I don't want to hear nothing about that right there. Because I can't handle needles and blood. When I have to get my blood taken, I have to meditate, praise the Lord, look away. Hey, Jesus. I don't do it. I don't do well with blood and needles, and I don't do well with all that. So why in the world would I go to medical school? See, if I can't thrive in that environment, are y'all with me? If I can't thrive in that environment, why I want to learn more about it? I ain't no good in that environment. Don't put me no matter. No, oh, you don't want me cutting on nobody. I can't take blood. I cut them open and run. See, the environment speaks so much of your purpose. Where do you thrive? Where do you come alive? Where do you find life? God is pointing us toward our purpose in the environment in which we thrive in. But it begins with God's presence. Put this verse in your notes, Ezekiel 28:13. Put it, matter of fact, you could write it next to verse 3 here in Isaiah 51. It says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. The garden of God. But let me finish this verse here in Isaiah 51, verse 3. Because he says, I'll make your wilderness like Eden. I'll make her desert like the garden of the Lord. Read the rest with me. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. So when I'm in Eden, I have joy, gladness, thanksgiving, and the voice of melody. Sounds like life. Sounds like a party. Sounds like a celebration. Sounds like a good environment where there's thanksgiving and joy and the voice of melody. That's where I want to be. God said, that's my presence. That's what Eden was. That's where God has destined man to thrive. Go back with me to Psalms, the 16th division, Psalms 16. Man's environment was God's presence. Now, we're doing all this talking about environment, but I've yet to define it. So let me give you the definition of the word environment. Here we go. Environment. This is the Webster's Dictionary version. The circumstances, objects, or conditions by which one is surrounded. Read it one more time. The circumstances, objects, or conditions by which one is surrounded. When I read that, I sensed it was incomplete. So I did what all preachers do. I made up a new definition. So this is the James version of the same definition. Listen carefully, or you might not notice the difference. Environment. Listen carefully. The circumstances, objects, conditions or folk by which one is surrounded. Because I don't know about you, but I've met some folk that really messed up the environment. Have you ever been around some folk that you were like, why did you invite them to here? They're messing up the environment. Have you ever went by somebody's house like, ooh, we got to go. Hey, we were just stopping by. Gotta go. Folk can mess up the environment. Do you agree? I can't be hanging around just anybody and everybody. No. My environment's got to be sanctified. It's got to be sacred. It's got to be a place that God can inhabit. That's why I can't let my kids just go anywhere. Well, what don't you like about me? Well, it ain't you. I don't know about that environment. I ain't going to tell you that up front. I'm going to say, we got a policy in the house and our children don't spend the night. I'm being for real. Chrissy over there, yeah, are you kidding me? Oh, what you got on the TV? What you got on the radio? What's going on up in that house? Hey, I ain't talking about no, I'm just saying. These are our babies. I got to make sure they stay in the right environment. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. So I'm walking out of the second service, and Henry says, Pastor, look at this definition of environment. I said, come on with it, brother. It says this. And I forgot where he told me the source was, but it says this: the social and cultural forces that shape the life of a person or a population. Environment. We're so bad about writing people off when the person himself is not defective. It's the environment that has influenced them. Now go with me to Psalm 16. When you get over there, just say amen. And let me just share a few more things before we read this. No product can fulfill its purpose in the wrong environment. An environment is only wrong when the product was not designed for it. One more time. The environment is only wrong when the product was not designed for it. So we got a little boat, and it works well on the lake. We use it on the pond, go fishing. It's wonderful. That's the product. It's doing what it was designed to do. If you saw me launching the boat, you say, Pastor James, going fishing. If you saw me drive my truck in the lake, you say, Pastor James has gone crazy. The only thing that would separate you from those two statements is what I was doing with the product. So let me make the statement one more time. An environment is only wrong when the product was not designed for it. When you're in a relationship that God didn't design you to be in, that environment is wrong. When you're in a place that God didn't design you to be in, that environment is wrong. What environment do you thrive in? No product can be efficient and effective in the wrong environment. The toaster oven don't work in the rain, but it thrives in the kitchen. Same product, different environment. Now watch this in Psalm 16. When you get there, say amen. And we're going to look, y'all been there, haven't you? Watch verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Read it with me. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. God said, in my presence, there's joy. In my presence, there is pleasure. The word Eden means house or pleasure. God was saying, the place that I inhabit is a joyful place. It is a pleasurable place. It is a life-giving place. That's why God put man in the place of his presence. Now go with me to Psalms 84. Keep wanting to go back to Isaiah. Man's environment was God's presence. God's presence is the master key to your life. Tell your neighbor that. God's presence is the master key to your life. You ever been fishing since I brought up fishing? I'm not going to tell you a fishing story about how I caught a fish. That far from the boat. I ain't gonna do that. But have you ever been fishing and you got the fish up on the bank, but right as it got over the land, it came unhooked? And it's a good fish too. And so you tried to catch the fish before it got back to the water because you had the advantage as long as it was on land. That's how the devil's doing you and me. He wants us out of the presence of God because that's where he gets his advantage. So what does that fish do out of its environment that it was made for? It flops around. You ever seen a fish out of water? Some of y'all need to go fishing more often. Just don't do it on Sunday morning, all right? Man, that fish is flopping all around and flap, 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 hopping itself all over this. Man, I caught a good fish not long ago when I was in the boat and it's flopping. I was going to catch and release, and that fish is going all over the place. I'm like, fish, if you don't calm down, you're going to kill your crazy self. If you settle down, I'm going to put you back in the water. He, boom, hitting the seat, boom, hitting the pole, hit one of my other rods laying down, got hooked in it. I'm like, man, you're killing yourself. Settle down. When I finally did catch that crazy fish, I threw him back in the water. And man, he was acting crazy in the boat, man, knocking my rods all over the place, knocking my water bottle over, flipping all of them, about to get me in the lake. Flop, 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 flop. I finally catch the fish, throw him back in the water. And this crazy fish, sure, put him in the water. I mean, this fish was calm, cool, and collective in the water. Little old immediately, he was like, because he got back in the right environment. I don't know about you, but that used to be me before I knew Jesus. I was all flipping, flopping, didn't know which way was up, didn't know which way to go. But once I found the presence of God, hey!
I'm cool, I'm calm, I'm collected now. Now I know what I've been missing. Now I know why I've been flipping all around like I got the thymotogitis. Thymotogitis, that's what we had before Jesus. I said, what is thymotogitis? I don't know, but when I get to heaven, I'm gonna ask my mama what it is. When I was a kid growing up, my mom and dad had this old white F-150 camper truck, big old camper on the back. And it wasn't, didn't have no power steering, not power steering, power steering. Man, you had to manhandle that big old truck, man. My mama had biceps driving that big thing. And we'd be going down the road, and all of a sudden, if you hit a bump or something, the steering wheel would start just shaking left and right. I mean, it'd go like you're gonna truck gonna wreck. My mama had to hold that thing down until finally it would get back right. And I'd say, Mama, little boy, I said, Mama, what's wrong? She said, oh, this thing got the thymotogitis. To this day, I don't know what the thymotogitis is. I don't even know how to spell it. But that's what a fish in my mind is out of water. It's got the thymotogitis. That's what you've been outside the presence of God. You got the thymotogitis. You're jumping all over the place. You're sporadic. You're not sound. You have no peace. You have no joy. You're filled with anxiety and you're miserable and you feel unloved and you feel like your life doesn't have meaning. All you're lacking is the presence of God.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McManus. Have a blessed week.